Welcome to the Destiny Church and Throne podcast. We pray this stirs you into a deeper relationship with Jesus and equips you to live a heaven on earth lifestyle daily. Enjoy.
Two dreams with you that I had last night. All night, I like stayed up with the Lord and I was like, Lord, what's on your heart? I wasn't hearing much. And I was like, you know, I even like fell asleep with like the Bible open in my phone. I was like, huh? And so I was just like, Lord, like I want a word, you know, like what's on your heart? And usually the night before, I'll just sit with the Lord and just kind of get what's on his heart. Or the Lord will say, hey, I want you to share out of this, or I want you to share this. Share what I've been showing you here. And I just didn't hear that last night. And it was funny, too, because Melody stayed the night with us, Danielle and Devin's daughter. And my eyes shot up about 3 o'clock in the morning. She was there in front of my bed. And I was like, angel? Lord? She couldn't sleep. But, yeah, it was like 3 a.m. I was like, my eyes just opened. I was like, ha! Ah! You know, Lord, I'm speaking, I'm listening, your servant is listening. But yeah, so if you ever had a kid standing in front of you like 3 in the morning and you're like, just waking up, it is creepy. Yeah, you can Shonda all you want, but you're still like, what is this? And it's all dark and stuff, and like there was a light on, so it's just like the shadow. She's got long hair, and it's like, Jesus. But it was all good. I was just sitting with the Lord last night, and I just, you know, but then I had these two dreams, and this is what I want to really talk about this morning. And in this first dream, I was telling a very high up official in Orange about some plans that the Lord had put on my heart. And he looks at me and he says, I mean, you got to understand, like in the dream, he was just kind of disgusted, like, you know, what's God telling you to do? He's like, Orange doesn't need any new businesses, you know, just really, really angry. I was like, no, I'm not talking about businesses. I was like, I'm talking about like assistant stuff for our city. And I was like, I feel like the Lord is about to allow us to buy an apartment complex where we're going to house orphans, like just all this kind of stuff. You know, I was like, I feel like the feeding's going about to pick up. I'm just telling him all these things I felt the Lord doing. He's like, pfft. He's like, why would you want to do that? And he starts cursing out the people of our city using, you know, some very bad language. And yeah, he was cussing in my dream. So do I repent of that? I don't know. Anyway. Isn't this weird, right? It's a weird thing. I've never really even thought about that. Anyway, yeah, he was cussing in my dream, and he was cussing out the citizens of Orange. And I remember thinking, I was like, man, this is sad. Like, this guy's supposed to represent us, and like, what's going on? And I remember he was just so upset, and he was like, you know, you try to help these people, and blah, blah, blah. Like, he was just putting this thing on these people, like they just were not deserving because of what they had done, because of who they were. And he just starts attacking these people. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, like, where they've been. Like, the heart of the Lord, you know, he ends up telling them, you're only following me because of this. But he knew why they were following him, but yet he still filled that need. And so I was just like, man, like, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, there still needs to be met regardless of people's stories or what they've done. And he was like, oh, well, they do all this. They blow their money on this, that, and the other, and then they expect you to help them. And it was just like, it was craziness. And I'm thinking to myself, like, no, why are you saying this about our people? And I remember telling him, I was like, regardless of what you say, I was like, you know, the Lord's going to do what he wants to do in our city. And then the next dream that I had, falling back asleep, was I was in this like big movie theater type thing, and I knew that it was a church event. And there was this guy who was sitting on a throne in front of me, and I knew that he was like the governor of this whole thing. And 3 days had passed, and this was on the third day, and we were about to watch this movie. And I remember looking at Julie, and I was like, dude, I can't have 3 days of popcorn. I was like, I can't do it. Like, I cannot eat popcorn again today. And I knew it was the Lord because, man, I tell you what, I could eat popcorn today. Layer it. If you go to Tinseltown, there's a guy there named Johnny. Say, Johnny, can you layer my popcorn for me? He's got glasses. It's the best popcorn you'll eat. So I look at Julian. I was like, I can't do it again. And so the guy looks at me, and the entire time he's cursing me, and he's saying, the things that you want to do in your city, why would you do that? He's cursing me, and I'm just, like, not even paying attention. I know that he's talking to me, but I just keep talking to Julian because I'm like, man, you know, whatever. And I remember, like, the kids were in the back. They were eating deviled eggs, and they were all just hanging out, and it was weird. They were having a fun time. And this guy, he keeps from his chair just cursing me. He's like, everything you're doing, like, you're wasting your time. The city's not worth it. It's not going to be fruitful. The people don't care. He's like, what are you doing? You're wasting your resources, like, you're all this different stuff. And I remember just talking to Julian. I'm like, man, I hear this girl. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we stand up because we're almost at the end of this movie, and this massive lion comes through the aisle, and it comes over to me. And I'm thinking, I know this wasn't the Lord lion. Like, I knew this was, oh, my gosh, this lion's about to eat me. So the lion comes over to me, and I have this pillow, And I looked behind me, and like Pastor David was there. So I like put the pillow over him. I was like, hey, this will protect you from the lion. It's like, cover yourself with this pillow. So I put my pillow to him, and I knew this lion wasn't going to get Julian because I was in the way of the lion and Julian. So I knew in my head, like, if it attacks, like, you know, well, this lion pounces on me and like, poof, like puts me to the ground. And I'm like, oh, and like, I can feel like it reminds me of the scene of this one movie, but I can feel like the mouth of the lion, like right here, resting on my cheek. Like he's just right here. And I can feel it. I'm like, okay, I've got two things to do. I can either just like be devoured, or I can push his head up and start fighting him. And there's people around me, so hopefully they'll help me. So as soon as I think to myself, I'm going to push this guy's head up and just start fighting this massive lion, he turns around and he starts ripping to shreds this guy that's next to me. I don't know who this guy is. If I ever see him, I'll pray for him. But this lion starts ripping this guy to shreds. And it is one of the most graphic moments, taking chunks out of his arm, taking chunks out of his belly, his back, like just eating this guy. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, the lion disappears, and this guy is just like dead. And we're like, oh my gosh. And that was the dream. And I woke up and I thought to myself, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I recently found this book in a bag in my mom's house, stuff from like the first few months that I got saved back in 2011. And the Lord highlighted me exactly where to go this morning. And there was this note that I took, and this was right around April of 2011. So in about 3 months, giving my heart to the Lord. And it says this. It says, a simple donkey was used to carry Jesus. God used an insignificant animal to give honor to Christ, and it fulfilled prophecy. I wrote, God wants to use us to be vessels to lift up Jesus and to give him glory. God uses more with less than we can with more. And God uses our weakness and transforms it into his instruments of glory. We need to immediately, and I've underlined it, put arrows, immediately give all to God when he desires to have it. And I started to think to myself, just because of some confirmation of some conversations I had just yesterday, the Lord is wanting us to give him what we have so that he can use what we have to bring glory to his name. There has to be this place in our life where we are not just fighting the enemy, where we are not just positioning ourselves and like, well, how you been lately? Oh, well. To where it goes, how you been lately? Here's what God is doing in my life and in my family and the world around me. Here's what God did at my workplace. Here's what God did at Walmart. To where we are living out, hey, God has placed this on my heart. I feel that we need to birth this. I feel that God is saying that here's the vision for this. We have to come into this place to where we are giving God what we have so that he can use it for his glory. Because too many times we think that our yes is just saying no to sin. But your yes is living in obedience to carry out the ministry that God has given you on this earth. It's easy for the church to waste time talking. Do you hear me? It is easy for us to waste time talking and going around the same things and doing the same things over and over when the Lord looks at us and he says, would you just give me your donkey? Just give me that thing that you think is insignificant. Just give that to me so that you can carry out the ministry that I've called you to walk in. Ministry is a part of you saying yes to him. Now, it may not just be a microphone ministry. That's what I'm talking about. It may not just be a pulpit thing. It may not be you leading a thing. But there is things God wants to birth on the earth that is far more than just you fighting the devil. It's far more than you just saying no to sin. 2 Kings 4:2. Elisha says to the widow, what can I do to help you? Tell me what you have in this house. And she says, I have nothing in this house except a flask of olive oil. And Jesus, I was going through these notes from 2011, these two dreams where these people are saying, why do you want to do what God has told you to do? It's not going to work. It's going to be fruitless. And all they were doing the entire time in these dreams where they were coming against what God was telling me or calling me to do. And what happens when I see this lion that just comes across this aisle? Man, I was like paralyzed because I'm like, this is a lion. I was like paralyzed in that moment. Like, what do I do? And this is what the enemy longs to do with the people, is he wants to paralyze you so that you are in the same exact place spiritually that you were years ago. What does Paul say? You've got to get off milk. He's like surprised that they were still on milk. Like, you guys are still drinking milk? You know how hard of a word that would be if somebody came to you for counseling and you asked them, how long have you been saved? Well, I've been saved for 5 years and you're still drinking milk? Like, I imagine Paul, Apostle Paul, looks at these people who he's been shepherding and counseling and being like, you should be eating meat right now. And it's almost a rebuke. He's like, you've been doing this for years and you're still drinking milk? And it's not like it's like a hateful thing. It's like this, like, I know what God has put in you. When I look at my children, I've shared this story before, but Julian, when he was a little bit younger, I remember I came into his room and on one of his tests or something, we got a text about one of his tests, and it said, that your son on this really important test made an 89. And I walked into his room, and I was like, Julian, you got an 89? He was like, yeah. And I was like, you know, you could have gotten higher than this. What happened? And he just breaks and starts weeping. Remember this? He just starts crying. He was like, I know, I didn't study hard enough. I know I could have, like, there was a standard he held himself to because I went to him and I was like, I know that you can do better than this because I've seen what's in you. And I believe that when Paul looks at them, he's not saying like, you're still on milk, like, oh man, look at you. Like, he's like saying like, I know where you're supposed to be and what you're called to be in, but yet you're still a baby. I will use Jacob Price as an example. First time we ever met Jacob, he's sitting probably about right here on Thanksgiving, or one of the first times we met him. I think the Seahawks game was on, right? Yeah, I think so. And man, he was quieter than a church mouse. And we're like, man, we love this guy, and we already knew, and he shares a story about that. He's like, these dudes are telling me they love me. And just a few years later, 2, 3, he has said yes, and he is leading this prison ministry that I believe is going to change the way things are done in Southeast Texas prisons. I honestly believe that it is going to change the way that things are being done. I believe that seeds are being sown right now into something massive that's going to explode in the Texas prison system. Well, what happened? Well, he just decided to say yes and just run with it because he remembers what it was like not saying yes. And he knew that there was a call in his life. And he knew that God had called him to something. So what happens? He stops being a baby. Like, in the most respectful way possible. Right? He stopped drinking milk. And he said, Lord, I know that there's more. So I'm not going to stay stuck drinking milk. I know people, and I'm honoring Jacob and Sandy on this, I know individuals who've been living in the church for years, that they are just waiting for God to use them in a big ministry or use them to do something that looks influential. Jacob's been serving the Lord for a few years. The dude is writing curriculum for prisons in the state of Texas, writing curriculums. Him and Sandy, they're writing fresh, Holy Spirit-led curriculums. Why? Because they said, there's more to this than just milk. They said, Lord, here's my donkey. It might not be much. I might not know every word in the Bible. Here's my donkey. Ride in on it. But yet the church, for so long, they just stay in this place of milk. And they blame everything else. And they'll even blame the church as to why they're still babies. Suckling on the teat. They will blame every little thing as to why they stay stuck when God is saying, won't you just give me that donkey, that insignificant thing that's in you? Just give that to me and let me cause you to come into a place where you are carrying the Son of God into your city. But we stay stuck. And this lady, she says, I have nothing, prophet. I have nothing, man of God, except for this flask of olive oil. This is all I got. This is it. And if you know the story, Elisha, well, before that, let me say this, because this is very prophetic. She says, I have nothing at all except this flask. You ever been in that place with God where he's like, hey, I want you to give? And you're like, God, I have nothing at all except for that $200, and $185 of that is going to my lights and my family still needs to eat. You ever been in that place? You're like, this is all I, like, I don't have anything except for I actually do have something. You know? It's like that meme where they're like, Mom, we want Taco Bell. It's like, we got Taco Bell at the house. And it's just like a tortilla with like beans in it. It's like, God, I don't have anything, God, except for I got my nights where instead of just blindlessly scrolling on Facebook, I should just be seeking. Or in the mornings when I just wake up complaining because I don't have everything I want, I should actually be sitting at your feet. I don't have anything except I actually do have something. And this little widow, this lady here that has lost her sons, she says, all I have is this flask of olive oil. That and the translations, King James, New King James, that word is actually, she says nothing at all. She says, have not anything except for this flask of oil. That word have not, check this out. This is beautiful. It's the word ayin, and it means having nothing. Oh my gosh, check this out. Or being fatherless. She says, essentially, I have something, but I'm going to identify as an orphan so as to not say that I have anything valuable or actually know the value of what I am carrying. She says, have not except for. You see, because when we stay in this place of just drinking milk and blaming everything else, every other circumstance of why we are not growing and why we're not seeing yes. Because remember, saying yes to God is more than just combating the devil and combating sin. Saying yes to him is carrying out the vision and the plans of what he has called you to do. And we'll blame everything else. And when you do that, you're walking in an orphan spirit that says, I am fatherless. And so she says, I have not. And then the prophet goes on to say, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from the flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. She did exactly as she was told. Her sons kept bringing her jars over and over and over and over and over and over. She kept filling it. Bring me another jar. Says they just continued to keep going. And then he goes on to her and he says, sell the olive oil and pay your debts. Save the olive oil. Everything that just happened, this supernatural thing, go and take care of those things that you had absolutely no way to take care of. These flasks, these jars, would have never been made full. I gotta go here. Check this out. Thank you, Lord. I'm almost done. I'm about to wrap it up. This widow, she owed debts, she had stuff, but except she's like, I got nothing. She goes on and she tells the prophet, she says, I have nothing. He says to pour out the olive oil. She did as she was told, bring me another jar. And then he tells her at the very end, sell the olive oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Those jars would have never been full had she not poured out. Let's go back and read the text. He says, go to your house, shut the door, pour olive oil from your flask into the other jars until they are full. You see, many times God tells us, I'm calling you to do this, I'm calling you to do that, yet we fail to pour out. We fail to pour out. We are delayed. Inadequacies play a big part in that. We feel like we're not good enough to do it. We feel like we're not equipped enough to do this thing. This seems bigger, right? Like all these things. I want to just testify. God told us, hey, you're going to run for city council. I never voted in my life. The last thing, it was far from me to run for local government. The Lord said, I want you to run. And you're going to win. So we ran. I was unequipped. Guys, when I say unequipped, I had never even voted in my life. I could have easily looked at God and be like, no. Sometimes I even struggle with like, what's a Democrat and Republican? I'll text Karen. I'm like, what is Trump? You know, like, who's the good guy? Yeah, no. Like, I get them mixed up. Like, I'm like, that's how inequipped I am for any sort of governmental position. Yet God looked and said, do this. Okay. I'm going to pour out. And sometimes you pouring out is pouring out those thoughts of inadequacy, pouring out those thoughts of, I can't do it. I'm not enough. Oh, well, these people burn me. These people talk bad about me. Well, I'm just this. Well, I'm just that. Sometimes it's pouring out what the donkey pours out. Sometimes we got to get rid of that crap. We got to get in this place where we are giving God our donkey, that insignificant thing. It wasn't a beautiful Mustang. It wasn't this beautiful war horse that I'm sure was available. It was a donkey. And he is looking for those that will say, God, I don't have anything, but this is what I have. You may feel ill-equipped to do what God is calling you to do, but in each and every single one of you, there is a ministry. First and foremost, biblically speaking, you carry the ministry of reconciliation. So you should be walking in a yes and a ministry that is leading people back to God the Father. And if you're not, then you're not doing your ministry, because we carry the ministry of reconciliation. So it doesn't need a microphone to do that. You don't need a pulpit to do that. You don't need a social media massive following to do that. What you need is to give God your donkey and say, ride in on my city on what I have. Because he will take what you have, that very thing that, like this widow woman said, that very thing that's like, I got nothing at all except for that insignificant thing that is an afterthought. God says, that's what I want. And if you would just pour out that insignificant thing that you forgot about that you had, if you would just give me that thing, watch me take care of what's needed to be taken care of. This is the beauty of our yes. Your yes is not just to fight Satan and to fight sin. Your yes is to not stay in drinking milk. Talk to some of these believers who are going around the same mountain. How long have you been saved? I've been saved for 10 years. My gosh. And you're still drinking milk? They'd probably be like, this person's hateful. Don't ever go to that church. They hate people. Don't go there. One star. There's this guy on our Google account early on when we first started our church. His name was Father Assad. He gave us one star. I was like, who is Father Assad? But Father Assad. Yeah, that's the thing about it is he wasn't saying, I'm going to end with this. Paul wasn't saying it derogatory. I know it is funny, right? We could say it like that. Like, but it's true. Like, if you have been serving the Lord, he's calling you to maturation. There's about to be some brand new babies in this house. And they're not going to stay babies. They're going to grow. They're going to mature. So I want to ask you to search your heart for the things that God is calling you to do. Stand with me. We're going to rededicate our hearts to the Lord this morning. And we're going to rededicate our yes to him and whatever he's calling you. And we're going to repent in areas where we have still been drinking milk, where we know we should no longer be drinking milk. It's easier, right? Like, little baby Bella, give her a little sippy cup. She'll drink it. But don't give her a big steak. She don't know what to do with it. She's not even equipped to eat something like that. But I tell you what, she will be. She will be very soon. And don't give them no mints. Got to have a new budget line just for mints. You're at any length of time that you have been walking with him, beloved, your yes is not, I'm going to say it again till we understand, your yes is not just to fight Satan and sin. Your yes is not just to survive, and your yes is not just to be like, oh, everybody else. It's all them. Right? Like the blame game is not anointed. I don't care if they came up to you and they slapped you and they stabbed you with a lightsaber. They hit your big toe with a hammer, they kicked your car, and they spit on you in the face. You are still without excuse and burning for Jesus. I don't know why I said lightsaber, but that burns. I can take it. You've got to be able, no matter what they say to you, hear me on this. The blame game is not anointed. You can ask Karen. We've seen screenshots of derogatory things people have said about us. Love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. It didn't deter us from walking out who we're called to be, and it never will. So let's just say yes right now. Let's just rededicate our hearts to the Lord. Let's just say, Jesus, I just give you my heart. I give you my yes. And I know that my yes is not just fighting Satan and sin. I know that my